Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us who are pursuing spirituality, we aspire for liberation from cyclic existence or samsara, and liberation from the two types of mental obscuration, delusions, and obscuration to omniscience, and we are seeking complete enlightenment or Buddhahood as our ultimate spiritual goal. So in order for us to realize such aspirations that we have, it is important for us to understand and contemplate the benefits of striving for liberation and enlightenment, and the limitations and the disadvantages of being trapped into samsara. As we reflect on the what are called faults of samsara, limitations and disadvantages of samsara, we really have to be, think very deeply, what are we really talking about? Limitations of the faults of being in samsara. Because the things that we ordinarily seek, what we might term as happiness or pleasures, are as a matter of fact a form of suffering of samsara. So therefore, when we make efforts and create causes and conditions to fulfill those what we call seeking happiness in samsara, you know, in a sense, we are creating causes of suffering, because such pleasures of happiness are in reality a form of a suffering. So all the pleasures that we seek in samsara, And we might even use the term happiness. But in reality, all of these are what we call contaminated pleasures or happiness. It's a technical term, contaminated. And so when we look from a very deeper point of view, these pleasures are, as a matter of fact, what we call suffering of change.
당하란 참말로 내 코에 내래 여보다 학 여성부 여러분 여보다 학고 그래서.
First, we all need to realize or understand that we are in a situation called samsara. We are trapped in samsara.
아나 손자다 코에 내서도 자네 다 리라와 강정에서 만들어 여기 그 란초 이딜에 잡에 다 농반나기 기타 삼봉시야 말이지.
But as we talk about how we are trapped in samsara, we must not think of samsara as if it is an external, place, where we got trapped in. So there are mountains around us, and there are buildings and skyscrapers and all of these things. So we are really trapped in this kind of environment. That is really not the understanding of samsara. When we talk about samsara, that as we say that we are in samsara or cycle existence or trapped in, what we really have to understand is samsara is something that is conjoined with, deeply connected with our own physical and mental aggregates. It's not something external to us, and it's very totally unrelated to us. As a matter of fact, samsara is something that is very much related with or connected with our aggregates.
That the coati coati shir coati shin the kanza tangi jul do sin you have seen there is on kanza coati rana sosi rana ranke coati rana the gigi ba chali yoris.
So when we think about samsara, we must not think as if samsara is a universe out there, so all of us are in that universe, you know. But samsara is very personal, you know, because each of us, you know, our aggregates constitute, if you will, is very much deeply connected with samsara. So we cannot think of samsara in a very generic term, as if it is out there, some kind of a world, and then we are all part of that world. So I said that samsara is very personal, very intimately connected with who we are as individuals. Now that is to say that when an individual person makes efforts to be free from samsara, when he or she or they are freed from samsara, these individuals are now liberated, whereas still samsara exists and others are in samsara. See, so that's in that sense it's very personal, you know. It all relates to one's individual experience and efforts. You know, as an individual, one can be liberated from samsara, and other sort of samsara really does not affect oneself so much.
That karre sena pena rangjuli kandiki yore sena leda nyemong ji pangbe ni lenyong ji pangbe ane sakye ni lenyong ji pangbe sena mendo ane di ane ta kocha di yore.
So what is samsara in a very technical sense and a deeper way of understanding? What is it? Samsara is to be understood in terms of these contaminated physical and mental aggregates that we have called sagandhas, pungbo, right? Which are the results of, products of, I don't like to use the word product, look like, you know, some company is manufacturing us, but, you know, are the outcome of deluded states of mind and contaminated karmic actions. So deluded states of mind and contaminated karmic actions are the producer of other causes, and our physical and mental aggregates are the outcome or the result of those causes. So therefore, see, as long as we have contaminated aggregates, physical and mental aggregates, contaminated in the sense, contaminated by delusions, kleshas, nyurmong in Tibetan, and contaminated karmic actions, then we are trapped in samsara.
Caught the
So how has samsara come into being? If we ask that question to ourselves, then we'll understand that samsara has come into existence because of delusions and contaminant karmic actions in one's own state of being, in one's own mind.
So that ngarazu karishi leka karishi thabe 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 la leka karishi gurisen leta nyamam bani bade papang yata thabe shegu garis.
So if that is what samsara is, then what is our job? Our job is to free ourselves from this bondage of delusions and contaminated karmic actions, right? If we can break this bondage of delusions, kleshya, and contaminated karmic actions, then we are freeing, liberating ourselves from samsara, and that is our job. So of these two things, delusions and karma, which of them is really, how should I say, more of a troublemaker, if you will, is as a matter of fact the delusions. So delusions are the, you know, I mean, among the worst, it's the worst kind of causes here, which lead to samsaric existence.
So that,
So how is that you ask? How come that delusions are worse than karmas, if you say? Because it's because of delusions, under the influence of delusions, motivated by, undergirded by delusions, that we create and accumulate karmic actions.
So
So whenever we as individuals are able to put an end to delusions within our mind and contaminated karmic actions, it is at that point of time we as individuals are liberated from samsara. Then we can say, now we are free from samsara. Great Indian sage, master scholar Arya Nagarjuna has said in his fundamental wisdom treatise called Mula Madhyamika, and as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, he says, this is almost like an answer to the question, when does one find liberation? He says, at the end of exhausting, you know, means putting an end to delusions and contaminant actions, one's own delusions and contaminant actions, one finds nirvana or
liberation.
So whenever that happens, that individually we put an end to our own delusions and contaminated karmic actions, at that point of time, we as individuals are liberated from samsara. So we should not think again, okay, well maybe at that point of time we have to migrate to some other kind of a world, you know, environment where, you know, there's all kinds of beautiful colored rainbows or something, you know. And then we can say, okay, yeah, now I'm in liberation. I see the rainbows here or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is.
That could take me to that.
Sorry, I forgot to say something. So being here in this world, whenever we exhaust, we put an end to our delusions and contaminated karmic actions, we become liberated just being in this world. We do not have to migrate to some other part of the world or some other universe for liberation. So wherever and whenever we find freedom from samsara, from then onward, we do not have to be reborn in samsara, over and again.
Right. chini shabata, gom jabata, karigina yata, rangjuli yabi, rang juj yamude, pungi tapdang, this tap shigurus.
So the most important thing that for us to understand is our whole job is to look within our own state of mind and understand what delusions are and purify our mind of delusions and negativities and contaminant karmic actions. So everything that we are doing, you know, this whole education about Dharma that we are engaged in, right? And any kind of practice we do, meditation, prayers, and you just name it. So basically, our study and practice, our education and our practice of Dharma should all be focused on or aimed at eliminating delusions from within our own state of mind. So that is our focus, and that's why we engage in the study and practice of Dharma.
Tā yāng yā mō sīdhī tsāni kārē sīndā tā pēnā rāng chūyē shēpa tē, chūyē kārē shīmē, pēnā lōpa yīnā yīndā, nē gōm chāpa yīnā kārē shēpa yīndā, chūyē shūk shāwa kārē shēpa yīnā, nē mārīkpa tā, mārīkpa tā tā mārīkpa shī, ndē chā shī, nē kōntrō shī, nē ngā jē, nē chā dō, tā ndūk sīndī tsāwē nī mō ndūk sīndī chūk shī, nē tāwa shī, tāwa lōpa shī nē, chūyē tē nē pa chī shēku kārē shī.
So when I say that when we engage in the Dharma education, we call it study or listening to teaching in a traditional sense, and we practice Dharma, we cultivate Dharma within our mind, and so whatever we do that's related to Dharma, read the Dharma books, contemplate the meaning of the Dharma, meditate on the Dharma, all the things we do must be aimed at, as I said, destroying or eliminating delusions within our mind. And now here arises, so what are delusions then? You know, what are we talking about? Of course, there are many delusions in us, but there are what we call six primary delusions. Number one is ignorance, marikpa. Number two is attachment. Number three is anger and hatred. Number four is pride. Number five would be jealousy. Number six is wrong views or distorted views. So when we study and practice Dharma, our really whole motivation and the purpose is to be able to counteract, to be able to challenge, counteract any of or all of these delusions. So all other delusions arise from these six primary delusions. You know, if we have these six primary delusions under our belt, so to speak, then all other delusions are branching out of them. So if we kind of attack these six, then all those branch outs will also be tackled all along the way. And among these six primary delusions, again, the three really what we call the fundamental or the root delusions are ignorance, marikpa, attachment, dvecha, and anger, kongro. So these are the three what we call poisons, three poisonous delusions.
So that tenzu ke ta ngaran so ge gewe shaw lu ta nga ta yi ge gewe shaw kar ki shebe na
So the point I'm trying to make here is whatever actions we undertake, physical, verbal, mental actions, because after all, we can do only those three things. We have body, speech, and mind, so we engage in bodily actions and speech actions and mental actions. All our actions should be geared towards, you see, fighting, if you will, if you don't like the word fight, challenging and counteracting those delusions in one's own mind, in our own mind.
Ta de je ke de temu sumbala sum ta de ke ani nyam ba rang ri shewin tsa ni ko lang sam ko le pa ya ne ma je be che ni sam tsa ma ta na ani rang che she ba te che lam de ro ya ma res.
So as we engage in the study and practice of Dharma, and we started to see or observe that a delusion or certain delusions are arising in our mind, but if we kind of bring in, adopt this indifferent attitude to them, but yet we think, okay, we are studying and practicing Dharma, then that means we are missing the point here. Okay, with that kind of attitude or approach, we will not succeed in cultivating spiritual path in our mind. So as we want to counteract our delusions, an important part of this whole strategy or the practice, if you like, is we should be able to see what is wrong with delusions. You know, why is it such a big deal or a problem to have delusions? And as we really understand the problems of delusions, what's wrong with delusions, then we are able to start to develop the sense of, like, I'm really getting fed up with delusions. You see, that's important. We need to get fed up with delusions. We need to develop aversion to our delusions. Delusions make us do all kinds of things. If we think that, you know, let's say we find ourselves taking, you know, the life of some other being, which is called killing, to be simple, you know, that's something has to do with the delusions. Delusions make us do that.
That tell any delusion, the church won't get any yin say it, the control won't say it, you do what they have to do.
You know, killing could be motivated by attachment or anger. You know, it doesn't have to be anger all the time. When we kill someone, it doesn't have to be it's the anger which makes us kill. It could be out of attachment that we may kill someone. And ignorance is always present there. See? So even in the case of stealing, you know, we could be stealing out of attachment, or we could be stealing out of hatred or anger against someone, or usually, you know, what that plays out is we destroy what we couldn't get. Others' property, or we could steal out of jealousy. You see how different delusions can become motivators to engage in such negative actions. So the same thing, you know, goes with other forms of delusion, such as adultery or sexual misconduct, and deception or lying. You see, it could be out of attachment, out of hatred, out of jealousy, you know, out of, you know, any of these delusions that we could be creating those negative karmas. So when any of those delusions, of all of those delusions, bubble up inside us, then we find ourselves engaging in such negative actions. So what we should be doing is that as we see any delusion or delusions popping up inside us, so we need to kind of slam them down. You know, we need to attack them and bring them down. So we must not make any lame excuses like, you know what, or maybe today is okay, you know, I'll do, you know, another time. No, we just can't excuse here for another time, just have to, how should I say, tackle them immediately. So, delusions become motivators for all kinds of negative karmic actions we perform. You just name it, causing disharmony or divisions among people. we use speech to divide people up against each other, especially the friends and buddies. We use unpleasant speech or harsh word that hurts others' feelings. We indulge in a frivolous, meaningless, gossiping. We indulge in covetousness, coveting for others' goods. We indulge in harmful intent, malicious intent, you know, want to kill someone. We indulge in distorted perceptions and views. And all of this, as we can see, are undergirded by the different forms of delusions.
So that temptation, Kowe Nyimu Tadu Tani, Rana Mende, Bri Kandiji Shonga Yina Tati, and Nyimu Wang Shonga, Nyimu Jungtan Karisna, Nyimu Lesa, Lejo Wang Ti, Rana Mende, Bri Shonga Mas, that's a Santong.
So the bottom line is this, that as we confront samsara and its problems and headaches and suffering, all of that, we really need to remind ourselves the reason why we have to go through these samsaric experiences and headaches is because of our contaminated karmic actions or negative actions. And these negative actions are prompted by deluded states of mind. So as we say, the formula for samsara is delusion plus negative actions equal to samsara. So that's how we go round and round in samsara.
Lucha nasata, sent to me as a total power, Tunzu Carresena, laying ambassa, laying about the Namit Rangle, than Jebu Rangle, me but in but the Hako Zita, you start laying ever side pa kayat, and then that catch him chivalrous.
So, whatever forms of suffering we experience, you know, whether it is physical, such as some kind of sicknesses and health issues, or whether it is mental suffering, mental anguish and anxiety and agony and all of that, all of these are the outcomes of our own negative karmic actions and contaminated karmic actions, which are, you know, are supported by, our own delusions. So we really need to understand that this is what is happening in my own personal life. So why I have to go through so much samsaric experiences because of my own contaminated karmic action, because of my own delusions. So I really need to put an end to all of these things if I want to be free from samsara. And then based on our own experience, we look at other people and they are going through the same experiences, you know, and then we understand the reason why they go through so much is their delusions and their negativity. So they need to take care of that for themselves.
And that's on sa ta rangjile yepe nyamotan samal ta rang dra tamaki ta dra duhiki chagyaris.
So what we're really talking about is we need to recognize that delusions in our own mind are the enemy number one that each of us has.
So
attach so much importance to external enemies. You know, when things go wrong, or if somebody says something nasty, then we see that person as my enemy. Okay? Or if somebody does something bad to us, we see that person as our enemy. But they are not the real enemies. The real enemies are within our own mind, our own delusions. Because it's because of our own delusions, these people are reacting, perhaps, to our delusions and what we have done to them. Okay? So our delusions are the enemy number one, not the outside people or the beings. So when we look at this Buddha's first teaching on the Four Noble Truths, which provides the structure of the Buddhist doctrine or the teaching, first thing Buddha talked about is the true suffering. Okay? See, he wants us to realize that there is true suffering in samsara. And then he goes on to explain, you know, what brings the true suffering, and he talks about true causes of suffering. And thus, once we realize that, now we say, okay, now we see what brings us suffering, and we do not want suffering in its causes, then he talked about true path, which is the real antidote to put an end to suffering. And when we do that, adopt that true path, that leads us to the state of freedom called cessation of suffering. So those are the Four Noble Truths: true suffering, true cause of suffering, true path, true cessation of suffering. So true path is not just a single entity, you know, it's not just a single phenomenon, you know, if you kind of grab it, then that's it, all we have. There are so many levels or stages of path we can talk about. And before we get on the first stage or the level of the path, we need to cultivate what is called renunciation, nyingjung in Tibetan, aversion to misery in samsara.
But as we
deal with true path, what does that involve? How many levels or stages we have to go through? We must not feel discouraged. Oh my God, there are too many, you know, stages to go through. I can't do it. You know, don't let ourselves down. Do not underestimate our own ability to cultivate a spiritual path. As a matter of fact, we say we have to develop courage to engage in spirituality. We have the boost of our spirit when it comes to practicing, cultivating Dharma. We should discourage ourselves from engaging in negative actions. You know, when it comes to doing negativity, it's better to be afraid of negativities and better to be timid, if that's the word we could use. But when it comes to practicing Dharma, do not be timid. Do not be, disheartened. You know, we need to boost up our spirit, and we have to be kind of maybe the word today is called risk-taker when it comes to practicing Dharma. So we cultivate aversion to misery in samsara. Aversion to be simple language is like we are really totally fed up with samsara. And so we stick to the path that leads us to the cessation of suffering. When we find the cessation of suffering, let's say where we are completely free of delusions in our mind, that is where we achieve nirvana or nibbana or freedom from samsara.
Yes.
So I hope you get a sense here that when we talk about samsara, we are really not talking about some external location or a place. So we cannot say, you know what, if you are in America, you know, then you are in samsara. But if you move out of America, then you are in some kind of freedom state. You know, it doesn't matter which part of the world we are in, Europe, America, you know, South America, whichever part of Asia. That's not what the samsara is. Samsara is very intimately connected with our physical and mental aggregates. If samsara is, that easy, like say some external location or place, then I don't think we really have too much of an issue to be free from samsara. You know, we can all migrate out of that particular place called samsara.
Honest.
So we have really kind of talked a lot about what does it mean to to be trapped in samsara, and how can we free ourselves from samsara, and so when can we see that? But then this is not the highest spiritual goal that is attainable. You know, don't think this is all, you know, be it and all, you know, everything, because there's more than that to be achieved, which is called complete enlightenment, or to use the Buddhist terminology called Buddhahood, complete enlightened state. And to get there, or to become an enlightened being, to get there sounds like out there, but to be an enlightened person, Now we have to cultivate more spiritual values, if you will. We have to cultivate great love, Mahamaitri, great compassion, Mahakaruna, altruism, Bodhicitta, and the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness or shunyata or sunata as it is. So through the combination of these values and practices that we are able to become a complete enlightened person.
当然，当你这边学了的神句，信任不就那把你是哪里啊？那他被恐怕他的特别级别人了，修不了神句，先得给解决了。So
in order to become a complete enlightened person, we must cultivate bodhicitta, altruism, bodhisattva's attitude, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. These two things must go hand in hand together. But now if we ask, which of these two things is the more important one? Well, that depends on what we want to achieve. Okay? And in order to achieve complete enlightened state, the highest spiritual goal that one could attain, of these two things, bodhicitta is more important than emptiness.
当然，但是从这上句时候，我们就让你的下巴下巴了，开始过过的时候呢，你这全部当上巴全部你不懂，下巴都没得做过的是。So
in order to experience bodhicitta in our own state of mind, we must first cultivate great love and great compassion.
嗯，对你不对，让你下巴下巴了，就我心间了啥来个，心间贪起了啥来个，心间贪起了啥来个，就这满意呗，干个了啥来个，这是。
So to cultivate and experience great love and great compassion, you know, we have to appreciate and understand the importance of all other sentient beings. It is by way of relating to them, it is in relation to them, with reference to them, only we could cultivate great love and great compassion. As we cultivate great compassion, we cannot discriminate among sentient beings as this and that. When we talk about samsara, there are six types of sentient beings. We call six migrators. And nobody is here to be discriminated against. Everybody is a friend. And we have to sincerely wish, you know, we have to genuinely wish that may everybody be free from suffering and its causes of suffering. That's how we cultivate what is called great compassion. So as we cultivate compassion for sentient beings, which is called great compassion, we cultivate a series of positive feelings, if you will. We cultivate, say, how nice it would be if sentient beings are free from suffering and causes of suffering. May they be free from suffering and its causes. May I be able to do something here, help sentient beings to be free from suffering. You see how a series of beautiful thoughts are connected together and they really make rational sense, you know. Now the same thing with cultivating great love. There's nobody among sentient beings to be excluded or discriminated against. We sincerely wish everybody to find true peace and happiness. So we cultivate a series of feelings, how nice it would be, we really mean it, that all sentient beings are happy or find happiness. May they be able to find it. We send our good wishes to them. May I be able to help sentient beings find happiness, bring some personal responsibility here, you see. So, by cultivating such thoughts and feelings, that we cultivate great love, Mahamaitri, and great compassion, Mahakaruna, to and for sentient beings.
So, Jata, Rangli Jembe, Sentient Data, Nyenta, Bama Tsama Lukandeti Yenayata, Miza Mayimpe, Ndoari Duk Sentient Kandeti Yenayata, Rangli Pento Chimbo Yunguya, Karinsene,
So when we look within this kind of a context, then we started to see the importance of sentient beings to our spiritual development. As a matter of fact, sentient beings constitute what we call the basis, you know, for our spiritual growth and development. You know, it is in relation to them we cultivate great love, great compassion, and without them we couldn't do it. And so as we cultivate love and compassion, then of course, one of the implications, if you will, is that we cannot hurt or harm anybody, because everybody is to be loved, and everybody is to be wished to be free from suffering. So who is there, to be harmed? There's nobody.
So in
light of that, I feel that sentient beings are to be appreciated and understood as being kind to us. So that's how we appreciate the kindness of sentient beings to us. Okay, now take, take time to think deeply. And we juxtapose enlightened beings or Buddhas and sentient beings. Who of them are more important, or if you say, for us to become an enlightened being? Well, really, they both are equally important. You see, they both are equally important for us to become a complete enlightened person. Equally kind to us. Buddha or Buddhas are very kind to us in the sense that based upon their own enlightened experiences, they show us the true path, unmistaken path leading to complete enlightened state. So they provide us the methods, the means by which we can become enlightened beings. So therefore, they are very kind to us, and we know that. But then, you know, how do we cultivate the methods that Buddhas have provided us? So sentient beings have provided us the opportunities to practice the methods. So therefore, sentient beings are very kind to us, because they are really giving us the real situation, opportunities, you know, to cultivate the practice, you know, and of course Kishara didn't say it. So therefore, sentient beings help us not to be big mouth, just but to be realistic and practice Dharma, you see. So they are very kind to us. So in those respects, as we say, they are equally kind to us, as we say. So the point I'm trying to make here is, in every possible ways, we have to appreciate how all sentient beings are so important to us, and we have to cherish them. So if sentient beings, we accept the premise that sentient beings are very important to us, and we have to appreciate their kindness, now if we do something that hurts them, that would be very unbecoming, isn't it? Very ungrateful. They have been kind to us, and we return their kindness with unkindness. See, that is very unbecoming on our part. Just ordinarily speaking, let's think of very loving parents who have raised their kids, you know, very lovingly and nurtured them and everything. Now let's say for whatever reasons, you know, kids turn out into like very ungrateful, and they abuse their parents like anything. They verbally abuse them, they physically abuse them. So now, what would other people say about these kids?
Think about it.
You know? So we really have to, as we think about that matter, if that is something very unbecoming and uncalled for, it's the same thing here. Sentient beings have been very kind to us, and it's very uncalled for and unbecoming on our part to be ungrateful to them.
Right.
So the part of the challenges we have in practicing Dharma is, should someone abuse us verbally or physically, whatever the case may be, we must not retaliate against them by remembering their kindness. You know, we just think about the positive side of the things and, you know, remain cool and don't retaliate against them.
The son of Dongde Chani, Nunzu Mena, New Enes Sanji Compata, Tabi Compatoya, the Nunzul Tengu Munduta, Nunzu Menting Ayungu Mundusum, do something.
So we have to kind of tell ourselves that if these people don't exist, I mean, how can I ever become a Buddha? You know, they are really giving the challenge I need to grow towards Buddhahood. If they don't exist, you know, I don't see how can I practice and become a Buddha. So our, you know, how should I say, aspiration and is that in our everyday life that we learn to respect others, appreciate the goodness in others and their kindness towards us, and we don't do anything that hurt or harm others. I know many of you have taken the one day minor precepts, and so I thought we have to stop a little early. It's almost quite close to 12. Okay, so we can go to our wonderful text today. Okay, I will be very quick, and there are a few announcements. That His Holiness the Dalai Lama is in Seattle and at a conference on Seeds of Compassion, and if you want to hear him, you can visit www.seedsofcompassion.net. Next week, Sunday, at 1:30 in the afternoon, Mr. Tenzin Chonden, North American Tibetan representative to Parliament in exile, will be speaking on crisis in Tibet. And Keshela will introduce him, and you're welcome to that. And the week after that, Keshela will be giving refuge vows, and new people would like to take that, or the old students, not old in terms of age, I mean old in the Dharma, just to make that clear, because I've been asked to communicate clearly, right? So, so you can renew your vows. We will remind you that again. Whoops, where is that request? Oh, here. Evelyn Margaret Dreamer has passed away, 88 years old, so prayers are requested. So please think about her in our mind, because we're short of time today. By the power of our collective merit, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Okay,
Last but not least, we dedicate our collective positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all become Buddhas soon.
Shanchu Simchu Rambuchi Maje Pano Shishuruchi Shepa Vanyambava Mepavata Kone Kondo Pevara Shua Tonyi Tawara Rambuchi Maje Pano Shishuruchi Shepa Vanyambava Mepavata Kone Kondo Pevara Shua Kangra Vekuvi Shinkamadri Pendavadeva Malu Jumvene Sere Suma Tenze Jasu Ye Shape Sinti Bado Tenjo Sa Ye Bunye Shuhi Meto Cham Rulin Ye Nidhi Jembande Sa Ye Ye Mithi Bunwa Ye Adokwe Nanda Ye Shibara Yo Itam Guru Rin Madala Kaniya Daya Me
Okay.